Good evening. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Tonight, the promise is fulfilled.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace.
Hope gives way to joy. Our candles illuminate our story. Dawn invades midnight. The light of the world has come.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace.
This light is a light for all, igniting a flame in our souls, warming us from within, radiating love, lighting our lives with the presence of God in human flesh, within us and among us, now and always.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace.
Come, Lord Jesus, sing. Angels, rejoice. Good Christians, welcome back to Bethlehem again.
May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been 2 years since we've done this together, but welcome to this service of worship, Christmas Eve at Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church. We are so glad you are here this evening to share with us the joy of Christ's birth. Several things I want to remind you probably of. There is instructions about candles and candle lighting at the conclusion of the order of service, so I hope you will read that. There are several things we are doing in terms of precautions for COVID pandemic restrictions, and one of them is asking you to sign the pew registers. In the event that we need to do any contact tracing, we will be able to get in touch with folks. One of the other things, we're singing limited verses of our carols. We are replacing, for the most part, nods instead of handshakes and hugs, although I'm not going to police that one. And we are not passing offering plates today, but the offering plates are available for your use. The one other thing I wanted to let you know, our snowcap tree is still there in the narthex, and we took a tree load to snowcap earlier this week. Thank you, Kevin Bennett. And it's still okay to add warm clothing this evening and to this Sunday onto the tree. We will make sure it gets to snowcap, and there will always be grateful people who will appreciate that warm clothing gift. And I want to take this opportunity to remind us all, since it has been a while, that all of the music, the singing, the readings, and the prayers that we will share tonight are offerings to God, equally valued and acceptable in God's sight. And so we ask that you refrain from all applause in that spirit of all offerings to God. Now let's continue the music of our worship service.
Please join me in the prayer of adoration. God of continuing joy, your glory echoes over the mountains and the plains. We come once again in your abode, looking to Bethlehem to see the beauty and depth of your love for us. Let your light brighten our hearts. Let your peace reveal to us that all is well. And let your love shine forth in all we do. Amen.
We began our Advent waiting by lighting the candle of hope. We can be filled with hope for the world and to be signs of God's hope to others.
Our second candle of peace reminds us that God's peace does not come from fearing and avoiding conflict. God's peace comes amid and in spite of the world's troubles. It comes from following Christ.
Our third candle stands for love. God's love dispels the gloomy clouds of night and prepares us to receive Christ when he comes to us in the person of the homeless one, the hungry, the enemy, or the stranger.
The fourth candle is for joy. We've been looking forward to Christmas Eve for weeks now. The Christ child is coming, and our hearts are filled with joy.
Tonight is the night for which we have been waiting. The Advent wreath is now complete as we light the Christ candle in the center. With the birth of Christ, our lives are centered, focused, turned toward God. We light this candle because Christ is the center of our lives.
For unto us a child is given, unto us a Savior is born. Let the power of Christ be born in our hearts tonight.
The prophecy lesson is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased the joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the day of harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their heart burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
And now on this night, as we draw near to Bethlehem, let us draw near to one another, as together we draw near to God in experiencing the presence and the power of corporate prayer. Let us pray. God of Advent, of expectant waiting, God of every good and perfect gift, God of impeccable timing, we thank you. On this holy night, you continue to give us good news, good reasons not to be afraid. Your presence continues, your light shines. Hear now our prayers. O Lord, amid all the warmth and celebrations of this holiday, we remember all those for whom hardship and worldly worries have robbed them of the occasion and the opportunity for joy. We pray for families in economic crisis, for folks with loved ones who are sick or suffering chronic ills of the body or spirit, for all those who mourn this day. We remember specifically those whom we now name in the quiet of our hearts. Lift them in the gift of the manger child. In our world, we pray for our society with so much accomplishment and promise, and yet with so far to go to achieve righteousness. We pray for our women and men in the armed services, particularly those in harm's way or far from home this Christmas. And we pray for all the medical workers working to treat this coronavirus in hospitals and clinics and laboratories. In our country and around the world, help us respect and support one another so that together we can approach the throne of grace even as we find it in humble homes and even in stables, in surprising and mysterious places around our world. Be with those who live in war-torn and violent areas, those who do not know the rule and security of law. Grant them peace. Be with those in disaster-ridden neighborhoods. Grant them faith. Be with those, particularly children, who have no place to call home. Grant them the love of Christ that defies the powers and the problems of our world in your power to heal and your power to hope. Lead us in the love of the manger child. In our own lives, O Lord, move us closer to finding Christ. In our families, let us share memories of childhood, health, and safety this year. And help us to share patience. When the world seems darkest, remind us of the beauty of dark skies and the stars that guide us. When the world seems confused and chaotic, strengthen us in the clarity of faith that sees beauty in mystery. When the world seems cold and always 6 feet apart, grant us the warmth of love, of good memories, of the journeys that lead us back to Jesus reliably, safely, with all the assurance of the promises of God. Give us ears to hear the angel voices once again, and give us hearts to remember the manger child this Christmas and into the coming new year. For we ask it in his name. Amen. may be seated. Our gospel reading for this evening is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus in chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Listen as together we hear the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Would you pray with me? God, in this day, in this time, grant us a word for our hearts, and hearts for your word. Amen. Okay, kids and kids of all ages, I want to start with something important. Christmas stinks. Well, wait a minute. No, Christmas smells. That's what I wanted to talk about. Christmas smells. And not just the smells of the stable and the shepherds. And we can kind of imagine that there were lots of smells in that stable and with those shepherds. But what are some of the smells that we remember when we think about Christmas? Maybe it is some of the cooking, the baking, the Christmas cookies or treats that we place in the oven and get slightly browned as they bake. At our house, we used to get something called Pfeffernuss, which is German for pepper nuts. And they were tiny cookies that smelled really, really good. And they were about the size of Chiclets. Do they still have Chiclets? Maybe it's the smell of the Christmas tree that you remember, or that pine smell that comes from going out and picking out a tree. Maybe it is the candle smoke or even the Christmas dish soap that smells really good to you, or the breakfast cooking on Christmas morning. I do not think it really is the smells that are important, but it is the memories that those smells trigger for us. And those memories are important in a strange way because they tell us what we already know. We are need to be reminded of the importance of God's love in our lives, and that may be the most important thing about all of Christmas. The preparations, the giving, the people, the smells, all of that. Christmas doesn't really stink. It should smell like goodness. One of the important things the story of Christmas in Luke reminds us of is of all the people who come together at the birth of Jesus. And maybe that's a little bit like your families. Maybe there are people coming from far or not so far away, traveling to be together. Or maybe even coming together on Zoom or on phone calls this year. For all these people, we need to remember that different things are important. And we need to kind of respect that. It was the same in Bethlehem. What was important for the shepherds was different for what was important for the others in the story. The shepherds were the outliers. They were the kind of off-the-grid people in Israel. And we never think about it, but the whole enrollment, the whole registration thing was not really important to the shepherds. They were not being counted by the emperor. Maybe because they did not count to the emperor. They were of no interest to him. What was important to them was their peaceful life in the fields and maybe the community that they did have away from other established homes, away from the communities of the city. To them, the country life was important. And maybe there are some people like that even today. Then the angels came into their lives, and what was important to the angels was a little bit different. To the angels, what was important was the reassurance of that first declaration, "Do not be afraid." Angels are all about delivering the message, particularly delivering that message in the gospel. And the other thing important to angels was the celebration. The multitude of angels came together praising God and giving glory. It does not say here that they were singing angels, but you kind of get the idea that singing and music was important in angel livelihood. Think perhaps harps at least. Then there was Joseph. We heard more about the angel visiting Joseph in a dream in Matthew's gospel, but Joseph is definitely here in Luke as well. What was important to Joseph was appearances and Mary's reputation, at least in the beginning, but that changes after the message from an angel in a dream. And then Joseph is all about his family. He wanted to keep things in order. He wanted to keep them safe and follow a plan according to the emperor's registration decree. That trip was according to Joseph's family tree. They were making it out of obligation and honoring Joseph's family. And that trip had to have been tough, but he seems to have kept it all together. Despite the government and the politics, he and Mary made it to this night, and I think we get the best sense of what was important by hearing what was important to Mary. Of course, the child, this new baby, his health and having a place to lay his head was of primary importance to Mary. But if we consider all of her story through Advent, we understand that Mary's faith in God was of primary importance to her. The Roman Catholic Church has such a special place for Mary in their theology, and with good reason. Mary answered the Lord's call. But we have to believe that the Lord had a good reason for calling on her in the first place. Mary built her life around what was important to her, being faithful to God. And all that was embodied, all of her faith came together in that little baby Jesus. I was thinking about the line from the carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," where we sing, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The hopes and fears of all the people, the shepherds, the angels, people like Joseph and Mary, are met in the little town, but more importantly, they were met in the person of Jesus that night. They came together for Mary. They come together for us. And that is saying a lot, but it is true. All the years includes us, all the hopes, our fears. Now, some of our hopes are simple hopes. We hope she likes the gift we got her. Does that sound familiar? We hope the turkey is not overcooked or, heaven forbid, undercooked. We hope Uncle Fred doesn't get out of line and honk everybody off again this year. And some of our hopes are high hopes. We hope Russia and North Korea behave themselves. We hope the environment survives the next few years and can't be irreparably damaged. We hope Cousin Chad doesn't relapse and that he is around again for next Christmas. It is telling that our fears are often clutched closely around our hopes. They are in kind of the same spaces in our hearts. There may have been no room for Mary and Joseph at the inn, but there seems to be plenty of room for new fears and increased anxieties in our hearts. These last, 2 years? Months? Have added new fears that we never anticipated. When we have to remember that kids have fears too. Kids fear that adults will be impatient with them in this heightened anxiety. Kids fear of the unknown, which is so much bigger than adults. Kids fear that they are to blame for whatever. That is partly why our coming together and keeping things together, why our faith, the faith shown in Joseph, is so important. We are sending a message. In that, we are all like angels. We are all sending a message this night. Most of us are just trying to understand our ordinary lives in the light of this extraordinary belief expressed in the good news of the gospel, the good news that the angels declared. We know we need a savior amid all the fears of all the years. And on this night, God placed a Savior among us, right in our midst, in the body of a child. That hope meets and conquers all the fears. When something critical happens or disrupts our plans or pulls us to the edges of society, that's when we discover what is truly important to us. After all the hopes and fears of all these last few years, we are reminded tonight what is important. God's love. God's love expressed in the gift of Jesus is what allows us to understand what matters in our ordinary lives. That is what is important. We say it in church, but we need to be reminded of it every year, in every season, every week, every day. And maybe it is helped by the smells of a crisp but rainy evening in December, or by the candles, or by that atmosphere of being in church. Maybe it is in the music or the people, but we all need to be reminded of the important message. Do not be afraid. God loves us. We may start to think that the fears are too much this year, that the big message of love and peace is the Amazon message we see so often in boxes delivered near our doors. We'll arrive after Christmas. Sometime. Eventually. We may start to think that our lives do not matter, certainly not to Amazon, maybe not to anybody. We may not believe in the message of Christmas, but one life changed everything. And that life can change everything again. And one important gift can change our lives. And that gift is already arrived. He is already here. I saw a Christmas card this year, and the message is a familiar one, not necessarily relegated to Christmas, but it is one which we need to be reminded of. The piece on the card is called One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He then became an itinerant preacher. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. 20 centuries have come and passed. Today, he is the central figure of the human race. All of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed, all of the kings that have ever ruled have not affected the lives of humanity on earth nearly as much as that one solitary life. We need to be reminded of what we already know, that Jesus' birth did not capture the headlines, did not come in a palace, or wait for the internet and 24-hour news cycles to be announced. It came in a far corner of the world at the intersection of pathways for people going somewhere else in a much quieter time. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, a prophet of much quieter times, once said that the really important great things are never center stage of life's dramas. They're always in the wings, occurring in the simple, quiet corners of life. Quiet moments like this night. So many great events of history started without fanfare in the lives of people. That is why Mr. Rogers always paid attention to the humble and to the deep, rather than to the flashy and the superficial. Whether it is through the smells or the stories or the people and the memories of Christmas, we are reminded this night that we have come through so many fears in the birth of Jesus into our world and into our hearts. God's love brings us together. God's love moves us forward in hope. God's love abides in us. That is what is important to remember. And now, although we are not passing the offering plates around, I would invite you, either during the offertory or at the conclusion of the service, to avail yourselves of the offering plates here and at the back of the sanctuary as we present to Almighty God our tithes, our pledges, and our offerings. And Cheryl is going to offer us a prayer.
Gracious God, thank you for the birth of your Son. Accept these gifts and with them our lives to be used in service to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. In the beginning.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God continues to create to this day, adding light to the darkness and casting out fear. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. The true light which enlightens everyone has come into the world. His life is the light of all people, and we have seen his glory."
Thank you.
In the Christ child born to us this day, in him is life, and that life is the light of all people. That light continues to shine into a new year, into our hearts in a new way. The light shines in the darkness, and though other lights may fail, the darkness will not overcome the light of Christ.
You learn things new every year. Now go out into the world. You are God's expectant people. Expect the blessings of God to fill your life abundantly. Expect the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and empower you to use those blessings in goodness and righteousness. And expect the love of Jesus Christ to unite you with all God's people, especially on this day, and open your heart to God's joy and peace. Amen.
One of these glass things.
This freaks me out every year.
Motive.